The Christmas Truce of 1914. By December 1914, World War I was already in its early stages, but the toll on soldiers was already devastating. The Western Front had devolved into trench warfare, and the conditions were brutal. On Christmas Eve, German troops began decorating their trenches with candles and makeshift Christmas trees. They sang carols, including Silent Night, which carried across the cold night air to the Allied trenches. British soldiers responded by singing their own carols, creating an unexpected exchange of music between the enemies. In some areas, soldiers shouted Christmas greetings to each other. Soon, a remarkable thing happened. Soldiers cautiously climbed out of their trenches, hands raised to meet in no man's land. Despite the language barriers, they found ways to communicate through gestures, shared songs, and laughter. In one famous incident, soldiers organized an impromptu soccer game. Using a makeshift ball, Germans and British troops played a friendly match. Though the details are debated, reports suggest that the Germans may have won 3-2, which is typical. England may win wars, but they don't win World Cups. On Christmas Day, the truce expanded. Soldiers exchanged small gifts, tobacco, chocolate, buttons, and even hats. Some swapped photographs of loved ones. They shared rations, wine, and stories of their lives back home. One British soldier wrote in his journal that day, "It seems so absurd to be standing there, talking to men whom the day before we had been trying to kill." The Christmas truce was not universal. It occurred primarily along the Western Front and was more common in areas with fewer officers or less direct orders to continue fighting. In some sections, soldiers who participated in the truce faced disciplinary action afterward. But for those who participated, the event was extraordinary. It showed the shared humanity of those on opposite sides of the conflict. Soldiers who, despite the propaganda and the dehumanization of war, recognize each other as men longing for peace, even if only for one day. I don't know what happens to the future of Christianity. I have some educated guesses. But I do hope that this tradition continues, that if humanity is on the earth 5,000 years from now, and all hope of Jesus returning has been lost, and the language of the Bible is so archaic now that only scholars can take language classes to learn how to read it, I still hope that in whatever battles are ensuing in that day, they will still stop on Christmas Day to take part of this long tradition of people in various languages and various traditions on the darkest part of the year, to stop their wars and their work, to gather together to sing songs of old that look for hope, light candles, tell stories, enjoy family traditions, and gather to eat with friends and family. There are many aspects of Christianity that deserve to stay in the first century where it belongs. There are many aspects of religion that do not need to continue in the modern world. But I do hope in the West that as long as there are humans on the earth, that we stop for Christmas. Even though each century our shared beliefs about what hope looks like changes and the truth claims change, I hope the tradition always continues, that for as long as there is war on this earth, I hope there is also Christmas too.
Question for you, Mr. Claus.
Okay. How was my ho ho ho? I don't feel confident about my ho ho ho.
You can practice that.
Ho ho ho.
Anyway, the first one you did.
The first one was like the best.
See, I try to embody the idea of what the ho 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 meant, not the actual ho ho ho. Ho ho ho.
That was good. That was good. But I actually wanted to ask you, what made you want to be Santa this year? What made you want to represent Santa this year, I should say?
There's actually a bit to that. Last year, we did the murder mystery in the Battle River Rail, and Cole Olson wrote it, or set us all up. And out of simplicity, it's on December 1st and November, whatever, he wrote it as Santa Claus. And they didn't want necessarily Christmas. They have a separate train ride for that.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, it makes sense, fat man. Okay. I can act jolly. I'm an actor. I'm good at that. So I ended up being the Santa Claus because he wrote it about murder at the North Pole. So that's cool. So I grew my beard out, and then I found some whitening product, and it whitened out really good. And I thought that was really cool. So I posted a picture, and all of a sudden, New Edge, the company downtown, says, "Hey, we have some kids. Would you like to come be our Santa for the a couple hours?"
Yeah. Her?
Oh, that's great. Okay, yeah, I'd love to do that. Just the kids and all that sort of thing. And they offered to pay me. I says, "Well, if you want to give me an honorarium to Infinite Imagination, that's cool." So anyway, I went and I actually bleached my beard for that. And I thought, my wife thought whatever Kathy thought, whatever, that's weird. And just the kids really liked it. And I thought, I went and bought my Santa suit, which was, there's a couple bucks involved here. And I really had fun with it. And this year I decided I was going to grow out the beard better and bleach it earlier. And I was just going to throw it out there. And then a lady at Sweetery and downtown Camrose, fancy sweets and fancy treats.
I love that place.
Alberta. Camrose, Alberta. And she said she needed a Santa Claus for downtown. And this was back in September. That was, or something like that.
Yeah.
And okay. They needed it for Midnight Madness. And I says, "Hey, you need a Santa, I'll do that." And I don't know whether, I feel so good when the kids, their eyes light up. So I consider myself selfish because I love the look of those children that look all amazed and awe and hunting me down. And it's just like, it's not like me to, I don't know if it is me or, I mean, Kathy would argue, she says I'm jolly and good with kids and all that, but, it feels good to be, to watch these kids light up. And when I went downtown for that, it was as much as the kids, it was the old people.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I haven't seen a good Santa like that in forever. And, some of the friends that would smile and see you do it. It feels nice. It feels good to do. I couldn't believe how much it felt good.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool.
Balances out the rest of my year. I can be cratchety, grumpy old whatever and driven and solid and just relax and smile and ho ho ho. That was pretty weak.
That was weak.
I totally get that though. The first year I wore my elf ears year round, and it was around Christmas time, and these little kids were looking at me in the dollar store and Walmart stuff going, Mom, it's an elf. Do you think it works for Santa? I'm sitting there going, yeah, I'm doing his shopping. And they would just light up and they would run and tell their parents. And I'm like, that's so cool.
I gotta put some of the reason I do it is because of ashes here. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
She's wearing elves at a weird time, and why are you wearing elves? I don't know. It feels good. Same with the corset. Yeah. And it was just like, maybe that's, it's my excuse to be a little bit of that inner nice self that I like to keep hidden away from everybody else. the rest of the year I need to be driven and push and whatever. So
bring out your inner simple joy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy.
Yeah.
It's easy to do it. And with this little effort, and I don't know.
Bleached your beard. That's I mean, there's
effort, I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to put words.
I wear wigs for that reason. I don't think I could go and like do the crazy hair with my natural hair all the frickin' time. That's exhausting.
And expensive.
Yeah. This, I roll over, I pull out one of the wigs out of the drawer and go, this is me today.
See, they don't make men's wigs like that work that well. So
no, and like there's a fake beard Santa. It's just
this came with a fake beard, and it was, you know, like you say, when you're a little kid and you see that chin strap poking through, it can destroy a child.
There's less magic. You just know that wasn't that was not the Santa that you were hoping to see.
Yeah, no, that's. It actually gives me the purest of joys. So
yeah,
that's why I do it. Oh, so
that's wonderful.
I'm a selfish asshole.
Strangers.
Yeah. Like, oh. I'm being selfish. I do acts of charity because it makes me feel good. It's just selfish. I'm selfish for wanting myself to feel good, and I do things to other people that makes me feel good. That's
selfish.
It reminds me of that.
Crippling anxiety make themselves feel horrible about things that they do nice for other people so that they don't think they're selfish.
Yeah.
It's a complicated, weird way.
Yeah, it is. It is. We all. What? Turkey or ham for Christmas?
Turkey. I have a ham story.
Oh my god, this is rather going to be family vacation or...
Okay, no, so I invited my parents up for Christmas, and my mom, I was working. I used to be a nurse, and I was working, so I was like, hey, so like, I can't cook, but we would love to have you up. I can do the potatoes, I can do all this, like, but mom, could you like bring up turkey or ham? And my mom was like, oh, okay, I'll bring up ham. So there's me, my husband, my mom, my dad, and my baby. She's like maybe one.
First child.
I was pregnant with my son, and my mom brings a 22-pound ham.
Oh my god!
But they're like pre-cooked, not
no.
They're seasoned or whatever. Like what do they call that? You could slice them and eat it right away.
Yeah, and then but like. And then, like, we cook it. But, like, it was this big, like, 22 pounds. And I ate ham until...
For months.
Yeah, for months. It was, like, I was so hammed out.
Same thing happened to me with tequila, but keep going.
It also happened to me with tequila. But, like, and, like... Then at work, they're like, oh, for New Year's, like, just bring something. And I brought, like, this giant Ziploc bag of ham. And then they're like, this is too much ham. I was like, oh, I know, right? So I'm hammed out. And that was 8 years ago.
I feel the same way about potatoes. For a month, we lived off of this massive bag of Hutterite potatoes, like a 50-pound bag.
Oh, that's like
focusing on your inner Irish.
Yeah,
well, in Ireland they eat potatoes all the time.
Yeah,
that's where my family came from, actually.
Oh, but yeah, like
I got a little Irish in me too.
There's so many ways that you can eat potatoes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for a month.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're versatile.
No, they are not versatile enough. For
breakfast, lunch, and supper.
Yeah.
Breakfast, well, first,
lunch, and dinner.
You gotta turn like a third of them into vodka. Never thought of that one, did you? No.
I was like,
do you just ferment them? How do you?
I don't know. I just know vodka is fermented. You'd have to get a distillery or something.
I'll look up a YouTube video while you guys chat. We'll figure this out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
What about you? Turkey. Do you want some herky? Turkey or ham?
Turkey. There's a song about that. We're turkey. But we do ham.
Yeah.
I don't mind ham at all. Ham's good. you know, you're either going to have a ham and mustard sandwich for a week and a half after, or are you going to have turkey? Actually, I'm neither, to tell you the truth, actually.
Oh, what would you prefer then?
Well, I'm lobster. We have lobster for Christmas.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. So we get it flown in, and it's just like my boss usually gives us a smoked turkey. Smoked turkey is way better than any other turkey other than
deep fried turkey.
My God, my dad would agree with you on the smoked turkey.
Other than the day of dark meat turkey. Because dark meat turkey on Christmas or Thanksgiving, that's the sweet.
Yeah.
You know, So, they're both, and then you end up even sandwiches and for, you know, weeks afterwards. We actually debone it, bag it, and then we make either anything, stews, soups, casseroles with it, and that sort of thing. But we usually, our Christmas is, we do typically lobster on the closest day to Christmas that they'll deliver from Nova Scotia, and then steak the other day. So, and we,
that sounds pretty good.
I highly recommend it if you've never done it before. A reverse sear. You bake it in an oven at about 200 degrees until you get close, and then it
takes
about
steak, not lobster, right?
Steak. Okay. Yes. Then you take the steak out and sear it for like a minute and a half.
Oh, okay.
Rather than searing it first, that moisture, that's the myth. Searing it first will not keep the moisture in or out of it. It's you know, both are have their valid reasons, I'm sure. But since we started reverse searing it, perfect steaks, wonderful steaks.
Nice.
So,
yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Reverse sear and then in a frying pan with butter sauce.
Yep. Lots of butter. Have you ever seen the TikToks where they melt like 14 cups of butter and then they boil the steak in butter?
So it's deep fried?
Well, it's not hot enough to boil because butter will burn.
Yeah.
So they just get it hot and they'll put it in a hot butter for like an hour and a half or whatever it is, and then they'll sear it really quick.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, but you just wasted like 14 cups of butter.
You can do the same thing with 4 tablespoons.
Yeah.
So you were on the money. I didn't actually look up a YouTube video, but it's you select your potatoes, you clean your potatoes, you cook your potatoes, you mash your potatoes, and then you have your Thanksgiving dinner and your leftovers, you ferment.
I know things.
You add water to the mashed potatoes and leave them for several days.
What kind of yeast? Brewer's yeast?
Yeah. That's the technical stuff. I know you have to ferment anything to get it into wine or alcohol.
Yeah.
But it was it's the complicated distill and purify.
Yeah.
So basically, every holiday when people make mashed potatoes, they get to step 4 of making vodka.
And then they fail. Yeah. That's one of, you know, every man has their I'll make this for you, son, or whatever. And they have their specialties. You know, usually we live out to the barbecue and stuff like that. But over the years, one of my specialties is stuffed potatoes. So you bake the potatoes, you scoop it out, you whip them up, you add all the magical ingredients, and then you put them back into the potato, and then you heat it up and whatever. And
that sounds delicious.
I've always loved doing that's always, hey, maybe I should do that. We don't have time. We're going on a Friday. When are you going to do it? Oh, I need to go on a Sunday to something.
And, yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. But I love making the stuffed, whipped or stuffed potatoes.
Twice baked potatoes.
There's different names for it, you know. A little bit of cream cheese, a little bit of sour cream, certain spices.
We're talking about turkey, ham, Thanksgiving, Christmas prefers.
Yeah.
Do you guys do potlucks, and what is your go-to bring for Christmas?
I love potlucks. They're so gone. I haven't, you know, I think COVID killed potlucks for starters.
Also, a lot of people have different food intolerances now.
Because they didn't in 2018?
Well, it's just, it's more prevalent, and people are, I have quite a few friends who are celiac, and my kitchen is not safe for a celiac person. 100%. I have wooden utensils. I mix everything with my wooden utensils.
Yes, we like food with flavor.
Yeah. And so like, I can't bring them anything.
Yeah.
I would have to go buy something that said gluten free, and I still wouldn't know 100% if it was cooked for them to be able to eat safely.
Well, I know, and it shouldn't. I mean, still, it's like we used to have, and we were trying to get. I was almost thinking about re bringing back the old Christmas party too. We used to have a Christmas party every year.
Yeah,
and we'd have the Chinese gift exchange, and everybody would bring a $10 or $15 thing, yeah. And I'd usually cheat a few bucks, but I'd find the weirdest, coolest things. Somebody made a didgeridoo pipe out of PVC and melted it and painted it, and they used beeswax on the end, and it was so. And I found it for like $20. Fuck it, that's $15 to me.
That's within range.
You know?
Oh my god, I am making me one of those.
And then the next year, I found this African carved bowl where the stands were all interlocked.
Yeah,
but they're carved that way, so you couldn't take it apart.
Oh, that's so cool.
So they're all interlocked. I found that for $25. You know, and it was just like everybody was like, well, which one did Mike bring? They're all trying to plot and whatever. Okay, we got a family of four. It freezes after the third steal. So if I first, but then they always get spread out in the number system or whatever. But I mean, the idea of bringing that is just like, there's always one, and that's fine. I feel bad for them. And it's just like, I used to be the guy that would go, I'm on a diet. I can't eat all this stuff and that sort of thing. But I still love my go-to as the question. As we divert from that.
Sorry.
Kathy's got a list so long. She's got this pizza black olive dip.
Ooh.
It's just like all the
Kathy
stuff.
Kathy just needs to bring a salad and it'll just be a wonderful thing. I love Kathy's salad.
We went to a Christmas party a couple years ago. She brought her homemade chicken wings, and Jeff and Corey were just freaking, oh, we gotta get, they just,
they forgot.
Oh my god. And she makes this cream cheese chocolate chip ball. She makes, it's a whole list of these wonderful casserole type things and whatever.
I usually do like baked mac and cheese.
I love baked mac and cheese, but my husband and kids are not fans.
Right? Like, what's wrong with them?
Yeah. My current go-to for pop, because my family, we do everything in a massive group, and every time it is a potluck.
Yeah.
And people who have the dietary needs bring their own whatever, and they can pick and choose, and there's like vegetables and things. People bring different platters. So if you have dietary issues, there's still always going to be something for them to eat.
Yeah.
My thing right now is Yorkshire puddings. Because it is.
Is that like blood pudding?
No, it's actually like a pastry.
It's like basically an egg in a muffin tin, and it gets fluffy. It's simple, it is cheap, and I can make a lot really fast.
My mom, sorry, I just had a really great memory of Christmas, our Boxing Day things. My mom would always bring Death by Chocolate.
Oh my god, my husband makes that, and he was the first one to introduce it to our family.
I don't know what that is.
It is.
Sounds good, whatever it is.
It is like whipping cream and mousse and chocolate cake and score bar, and it's layered.
Okay.
And it was always in this like big gigantic bowl, and I don't know what, like, she would, I don't know her secret recipe to this thing, but it was always just so good. And I remember my aunt one year attempted to make it because she wanted to have the best Death by Chocolate, and everyone had like a little bit of it and just wasn't as good as like my mom's. So I don't know what she did differently, but like everyone's like, yeah, Christine's got to bring the Death by Chocolate. That is what she brings.
Brought up something interesting, just, and this is kind of random and peripheral. How do you make your KD on a random whatever day?
Oh, I boil my water. I add my noodles, and
you do it by the book.
No.
Okay, that's.
There's a very specific way to stir the cheese in.
Okay.
you have to have the KD spoon.
Okay.
This is it's a science.
Yeah.
And then you have to take the KD spoon and take like your scoop of butter. I don't measure this part.
No real chef does.
It goes by feel, and like you stir in the butter so it's like all melty, and then you like carefully like sprinkle in the cheese and you're stirring, and then it's just a splash of milk.
Okay. Hmm. You?
Okay. Are we talking box Katie, like Katie brand Katie?
Random whatever day, you've got a box of Katie, you happen to have all the general stuff that you like, how do you make it?
Okay. So for my personal Katie, it is boil the water, obviously, add a pinch of salt. Toss in my noodles, add a bit of oil to keep it from bubbling over, because that wooden spoon over the pot thing is crap.
You just stir it.
I'm not that patient. I don't stand there. Yep. I give it a quick stir to break it up, because when you dump the noodles in right off the hop, it always clumps.
Yeah.
It clumps. And then I bring it to a boil.
Okay.
And I have
shouldn't it already be boiling?
No, I add mine before it boils.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Okay, so this is okay.
Okay.
I'm learning.
And then I bring it to a boil, and then 4 minutes after it's boiling, I know the noodles are perfect. So then I strain it. And then I put it back on the hot part of the stove. Yes. And that's when I dump in my milk. So that it stops the noodles from burning. I don't add a lot. I don't like soupy Katie.
Okay, okay. That's my concern, is nothing worse than Katie soup.
No, it's right? It's enough milk along the bottom to stop the noodles from burning to the bottom of the pot, because it's still on the hot pan, and I need it hot for the butter. Okay. I use my Katie spoon, too. The same spoon we use every time we make Katie.
Is there a special spoon named Katie, or is it just you've titled
it? It's you've been given titled, a title to a spoon. It's been titled okay. The Katie
spoon. It's that one spoon that works so perfectly for Katie, the King Forever Katie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like it's just the Katie spoon. It's also like, I also use it for when I make like baked mac and cheese, so like homemade, yeah. Anything with like the macaroni noodle. Okay. It's the, that is the spoon we eat.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I'm not as careful with my cheese. I dump my butter in, I stir the butter in, I rip the package open.
You see she's not going, poof.
I always.
But like, you've timed it to 4 minutes after the noodles.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I'm just
the
like.
The texture is so important to me.
I made it, you clean it up.
Yeah, I rip it open, I always get that of cheese powder. Opening up a brand new thing of iced tea, it burns.
How are you opening your iced tea?
Stir it in.
Oh, it's like the pop thing?
Yeah.
Pop.
Yeah.
You just don't shake it up and then open it. Cause
then you don't.
Wow, it's all psychedelic now.
What are you putting in your iced tea?
Oh, it's the dust that comes up anyway.
It's iced LSD.
Yeah. Nice, I like that. So then
you're salt, pepper, and garlic powder go in after it's all mixed.
Okay.
And rather shredded cheese or cheese whiz.
Oh, so you're making very fancy, whereas I was just like,
cheese whiz is not fancy. It's just awesome.
It is. I have that cheese. Like, my Katie cheese is not cheesy enough.
I agree, 100%.
So I even have a little container of extra Katie cheese.
Oh, I know. I put it on my popcorn.
That sounds horrifying.
That sounds delicious.
Cheesy popcorn?
I love cheesy popcorn.
A little butter, then some of that cheese dust.
You eat Chicago mix, don't you?
What's Chicago mix?
You don't eat Chicago mix?
What is Chicago
mix? Okay, so it's like, it's cheesy popcorn with caramel popcorn. You have to eat the cheesy popcorn and the caramel popcorn both at the same time.
No, that's wrong. There's all sorts of wrong. You keep my pineapple off my pizza wrong.
I thought that for years. Until...
You have to try it.
Do not eat them at the same time. If you eat a caramel and a cheesy one at the same time, it's awful.
I just said to do it.
I love it.
Okay.
You're on either side of Chicago.
Okay,
here.
But I'm
there's going to be a brawl in the middle.
I'm just going to say, like, that was, like, a big pregnancy craving I had, and then it just sort of, like, carried over.
Okay, you got to lead in with it. Because, pickles and ice cream do not go good, but if you're
pickles and ice cream do not go good, but pickles and peanut butter go fantastic.
Peanut butter
if you're pregnant. Please.
Anytime.
No.
Peanut butter and bacon on toast.
With ketchup. pregnancy craving.
Nope, that messed me up.
It was a. I don't really like ketchup, but it was like I needed the bacon, I needed the peanut butter, I needed the ketchup.
Me, that was maple beans and hot dogs while I was pregnant.
Oh, that's, okay. Yeah.
But it was a staple growing up, wieners and beans, but I hated it as a kid.
Yeah.
So when I was pregnant, I was like, I need this protein in me now. But if you, like, you know how when you eat so much salty stuff, you need that little bit of sweet?
Or vice versa. Yeah, I have such a
sweet.
Yeah, I got a brutal sweet tooth anyway,
yeah.
So.
Yeah,
I
mean, so if you eat too many of the caramel popcorn, you just eat some cheesy popcorn, it's
perfect.
Yeah.
It's
all in one bowl. So you don't have to worry about like.
So you sound like you'd get a kick out of somebody putting all the M&Ms and Skittles in the same bowl, shaking them up.
Oh, that's so good.
Have fun. It's like, no. I'd be analyzing S, nope, S&M? Oh, not today, but.
And that's when you go in with a Q-tip and a little cup of water, you get rid of the letters, and you have fun.
Oh, man.
I have done that. Oh.
That is the epitome of evil. That is evil, and you call yourself a Christian. Oh, that is pure evil.
I am a little bit of chaos flowing through me. Yeah. Controlled chaos, as you.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. It's well thought out and planned.
And when you have them mixed together after a Halloween, and you don't realize that the Skittles are mixed with the M&Ms and Smarties,
and then you just grab a handful.
Make cookies.
You
end up with Skittles in your cookies.
Or you just grab a handful and you have like Skittles and M&Ms all in your mouth at once.
I don't know how I would feel about that. I think I would cry.
I would like that.
I cried.
But I think
I cried.
After I got over it, I'm thinking the fruity and the chocolate. I might need that now.
But like it wasn't what I wanted. It was like finding a raisin cookie in amongst all the chocolate chip cookies.
My grandmother did that all the time.
Yeah. Like it was just
chocolate chip cookies. Mama, these are raisin.
Cool.
The Bailey Theater Society brings you on New Year's Eve. Punch Drunk Cabaret's New Year's Eve Rock and Roll Burlesque. Then coming next year, we have Pinocchio, presented by the Camrose Arts Council. Registration by January 5th. Followed by Morning Wood, presented by Lamb Ford. Backspot. Presented by Caldwell Banker On Track Realty. The Hearts, presented by Rose City Roots Music Society.